wonderful, wonderful chapter in the history of our country is, I think, in the 1st of June, they're thinking about all of the D-Day and the other things that took place many, many years back. So as Christians, we march on, and even as our soldiers did several years back. This evening, if you have your Bibles, I would like for you to turn with me to the book of Genesis. Chapter 15 it is. One of God's great saints, one of the remarkable experiences and something that God said to him about a gift. And so in thinking of this in terms of young people graduating, this is very appropriate. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I am and I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. And Abram said, Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is my heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels or loins shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars, if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. An unusual experience. God is saying to Abraham, I will give you my best gift. And my text being that first verse, the last part of it. I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. There are many, many good gifts that we might have or receive, many, many gifts. People offer us gifts almost daily in some shape or form. What would you think of a young woman when presented a gift of flowers from a young man who grabs the flowers and begins smelling them, looking at them, and pays no attention to the young man the rest of the evening? What would you think? On his second visit, he comes and he brings a box of candy and presents it to her. She reaches it, takes it, and exclaims, My favorite chocolate. And began stuffing herself. And she couldn't say another word to him all the evening. What would you think? On his third visit, he bought a book he thought she would like to have. He presented it to her without looking at the man again for the whole evening. The foolish girl began to read and was absorbed with the book. Didn't she know that the gifts he was bringing? The young man was trying to give himself to this young lady. Now, I hope we catch the parable of what I've been saying, because that is the exact way we treat God. We snatch all the good things that God sends to us daily, weekly, hourly, without even so much as thanking him, much less spending some time in his presence and enjoying him. God said to Abraham here, I am thy shield, and I am thy exceeding great reward. Abraham had left his home of the Ur of the Chaldees, gone out to a place by faith where he should receive an inheritance, and he obeyed. And he went not knowing whether he went, Hebrews 11 says. And by faith he sojourned in the land of promise as a strange country, where he looked for a country and a foundation whose builder was God. The promise of God had been great. Abraham had seen very little of the fact of it, because in this 15th chapter, it says that Abraham says, I do not even have a son yet. He asked God about things. He says, God, there is one heir in my house. How about adopting a slave and making him my son? And here is a battle that Abraham has with himself, trying to be faithful to God and God's promises. He is so faithful to God. Look in your Bibles, just back a few verses, two verses, in chapter 14. When he had a battle with some kings, Abraham said that I will not take from a thread even a shoelace, that thou, I will not take anything that is thine, lest thou should say, I have made Abraham rich. His whole trust must be in God. And he will not even take a shoelace from one of the kings that he has conquered, who in the future will be able to say, we helped to make Abraham a wealthy man. Now the King James says here in this text, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. Moffat translates this, I am thy shield, and rich is thy reward. The Revised Version says, fear not, Abraham, I am your shield, your reward will be very great. Martin Luther, who translated this into the German, put it in these words. He said, I am both your shield and your reward. I am thy exceeding great reward. To me, that is a tremendous statement. God is the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. God himself is the reward and the great blessing to come to Abraham. Not the lands, not even the son that he had not received yet, but just being in the fellowship of God was the great reward of Abraham. We take God's gifts daily. How much do we think about living in the presence of God as a great reward? Psalm 16:5, the Lord is a portion of mine inheritance, and of my cup is thy presence. Is fullness, in thy presence is fullness of joy. A full revelation of God's presence comes to us in Jesus Christ. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Can you know or think of a better gift than that God should give you his Son as a gift? And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. Jesus, in his farewell, said to his disciples, if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be always. Ask, he says, and ye shall receive. Your joy will be full. Jesus advises that we be in persistent prayer and constantly live in his presence. Now, to be honest at this point, many times you pray only when you need something, right or wrong. When you need something, you pray. At other times, you do not think very much about prayer. I heard a little story about a young high school boy who was about 16 years old and went into the drugstore one day, and he said to the druggist, I'd like to buy 3 boxes of candy. I'd like to buy a 1-pound box, a 2-pound box, and a 5-pound box. The druggist was very curious. He says, why do you want 3 boxes? Different sizes. Well, he says, you know, I'm kind of a ladies' man. He says, I get along, I've got a lot of girlfriends, you know. And he said, when I go out to see my girls, he said, if one of them lets me hold her hand, I give her a 1-pound box of candy. And the one that lets me put my arm around her, I give her a 2-pound box of candy. And then he said, for the girl who lets me kiss her, I give her the 5-pound box of candy. Well, the druggist was quite interested in that, and that was really super. He thought that was some system. You never heard of system exactly like that. So on this particular night, he went off to go with his minion that he had been with. And he came to this house, knocked on the door, and the girl invited him in. And she said, by the way, we're going to eat supper very shortly. How about staying for the meal this evening? And so he said, all right, I think I can do that. And so they went into the dining room, and they were seated. And as they were seated, the man of the house came in, and he called on the boy to pray. to ask the blessing for the food. And the boy began to pray, and he prayed 15 soup cooling minutes. When he had finished praying, the girl said to him, "Well, I didn't know that you could pray like that." He said, "Yeah, and I didn't know your old man was a druggist either." It do make a difference, you know. God does not really despise our needs that we have. When we pray for daily bread, God supplies it to us. Now, if you were God, and somebody just kept right on coming to you, wanting this, wanting the other, how would you react? Without wanting to enjoy your fellowship and your presence at all. The point is this. Did God put Abraham off until Abraham was ready for the promises? Until Abraham was well acquainted with God? Later, God called him a friend. God gave Abraham his best gift. He gave him himself. There was a physician in Brighton, England, who lost his eyesight. He was a great skilled scientist. And when he was stricken with blindness, he sat for a few weeks and months with his hands folded. Finally, he said, "I cannot sulk like this. I must be busy about something." And so he made a discovery and he made an invention. And as a result of his discovery today, blind people can read by raised letters by the tip of their fingers. Millions of blind people today would say, "Thank God he led us out of the terrible blindness this way." George Matheson, that great Scots preacher, was engaged to an ambitious girl. He too had a serious diagnosis that his eyesight was parting him. The dead nerve in his eye would render him totally blind. The doctor said to him, "In a few months, you'll be blind. If there's anyone you want to see, you want to talk to, you better call them, you better talk to them right away." And so he called this young lady that he was engaged to. He told her the situation. And she said, "As far as we are concerned, our relationship is terminated this hour. I did not bargain to marry a blind person." And Matheson, as a result of that, wrote these immortal lines: "O love that will not let me go, I rest my weary heart in thee. I give thee back the life I owe, but in thy ocean depths its flow might richer, fuller be." On that dark Friday, in that awful darkness, George Matheson came to one of Earth's greatest truths and developed into one of God's great preachers and authors. He discovered that the best gift in the world was God's presence with him. This is the wonderful truth. My friends, God didn't save us and put us off in a corner. He is with us. The story of John T. Pullen of Raleigh, North Carolina, always fascinated me. There is a church in Raleigh by his name, and there is a park by his name. He was like a saint. This man worked in a bank as a young boy. Started off very small. But later on, as a young fella, he got drunk one day. And he knew that he had grieved the church people. And they rebuked him for it. But he came to the church and he said, "Now, if you will forgive me, I'll never do that again." Well, the church did forgive him. And for the rest of his life, it was just completely filled with good things for God. He visited colleges, gave New Testaments to oncoming freshmen. He visited the orphanages and gave the children apples. He visited the prisons and gave the prisoners hope with the gospel. At his funeral, the governor set aside a time when the inmates of the prison could come and put flowers on his casket. One day, Mr. Arthur Stringfield, who was raising money for Meredith College, which is still in existence today, and he said to Brother Pulling, "I want you to pray for our cause and our effort in raising this money." He said, "Mr. Stringfield, I can't do that." He said, "Mr. Pulling, why, I am amazed." Mr. Pulling said, "The Lord has been so good to me that all of my time is spent in thinking and thanking Him for what He has already done. I can't ask God to do anything else for me." He really lived in the presence of God. That's what Paul meant when he said, "Give thanks for all things unto God and the Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ." That's the reason why Sarah Adams could write of her experience. When the doctor told her it was a terminal illness, "Oh, how I wish that everyone who faces such an experience could find the way as this woman." So many turn to other things. Here's what she wrote: "Nearer, my God, to thee, nearer to thee. Even though it be a cross that raiseth me, still all my songs shall be nearer, my God, to thee." Now, here's the point. God could have sent angels to have been in the presence of Abraham. God could have given him some of the heavenly beings to surround him. He could have done the same thing for us. But it wasn't that. God said, "I'm going to be your exceeding great reward. I'm going to be your presence. I'm going to give you myself." I like that homely illustration told by the pastor William T. Mills. In 1965, he told about this. He said, "I was a boy about 14 years of age. It was about to rain. It's about to do it again. And he said, my father came and he said to me, he said, 'Son, we need to hill up the watermelon, or else we'll lose them.' And it was noontime. It was hot. And he said, you get the mule and the plow, and I'll go down and turn the vines in the orchard. It was hot. And so this man said, I got the mule. I came down. It was hot. The branches were hitting and knocking off my hat, scratching my back. The gnats and the mosquitoes were after me. It was hot. I was grumbling. I was complaining. After I made about two rounds, he said, my father said, stop the mule. Now I thought, he said, it would be good for us to work together. And he said, if you're going to be complaining about this, he said, you go on up to the house and I'll make out the best way without you. He said, I thought about that a moment. And I said, no, Dad, I want to stay. Give me another chance. And he said, I never did realize how much it meant for me working with my father in the field that day. For us, just, he wanted us just to be together out there in the field. Now that may be a homely illustration, but I think that's exactly what God says to you and he says to me. I am thy shield, thy exceeding great reward. God wants you and he wants to be in your presence. Think about this gift. My friends, a lot of people get busy doing a lot of things. But I trust we'll never get so busy in the kingdom of God that we neglect the King, Jesus Christ. And I hope that in all our doings we'll not be like or complain, but we'll be like Abraham and we'll come and realize that God who says if it's this way, then oh God, you can count on me. The challenge to you is that God is your exceeding great reward. Isn't that beautiful? What you mean to God, what God means to you. Let us pray. O Lord our God, if there be one in thy house, even one heart, that is not yet Christian, may he who stands at the door and knocks with a hand that was pierced on a cross come into that heart right now, bringing pardon, cleansing, and peace with a joy that the world cannot give or even take away. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to sing now our invitation number 200. Hymn number 200. And if there be one here tonight who is not a Christian, who does not know about this great gift, you have never given your life to Jesus Christ. You do not know what it means to live in his presence. It would do well for you to seek him, to open your heart. God really wants to be in your presence and wants you to live in his. If you have such a decision, I hope that you will make it. While we now sing, may God so lead right now.
Amen. see from the Spirit of God speaking and meeting with us tonight. Direct the gospel truths to our minds and help us to know and see that one of God's great